I'm Paul Lancour with PodTech.net, and I have caught up with Robert Scoble of The Scoble Show on PodTech, and he is on the campaign trail with John Edwards. He's been given all kinds of access to behind-the-scenes activity, and we check in with him now. How are you doing, Robert?
Oh, man, it's just been an incredible day. We've flown through three states, started this morning in New Orleans, where he announced to a large group of press that he was running for, that John Edwards was running for president. And then he did a series of interviews, and then we flew to Iowa, where he gave a real interesting town hall meeting to about 1,500 people and talked on a variety of topics from global warming to poverty to education to, God, what else? we covered a lot of waterfront. I'm trying to remember now. I've been looking at how he's been using technology to get the word out about who he is and let people interact with him, and I think that's very fascinating. Tonight in Iowa, he had 41,000 people watching online the town hall meeting, which was probably, 30 times bigger than the audience that actually saw him live. So it gives a good idea of the kind of reach that you can get with the...
And one of the things that you've been blogging about that's I find particularly fascinating is the effect of social media on traditional media in terms of, in fact, you were talking about your discussions with the Washington Post reporter and the expectations of his newspaper of him now in the world of social media.
Yeah, well, they're certainly moving online. All the journalists are thinking about, if they're not online already, they're thinking about how online is changing their business. Certainly the Washington Post is moving online in a big way. They have videos in their articles. They're doing articles specifically for the web, and then updating those several times a day, and then writing an article for the print publication, which will be a little bit more thoughtful because the deadlines usually are later. By the time somebody gets the Washington Post paper version, it's old news compared to the online version.
And you're shooting tons of video while you're down there?
I'm not going crazy, but because I can't really compete with the TV press. I mean, these guys have $30,000-$40,000 cameras and satellite trucks, and one station I saw five people running their camera. An audio guy, a lighting guy, a director, and then somebody in a satellite truck, and then somebody running the camera. I can't compete with that, but I'm looking for covering the story from a tech angle and trying to get intimate moments, and I've gotten quite a few of those. They've given me extraordinary access. I've been, with John almost the entire time, the past day or so, and it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for me.
What's been the most eye-opening thing for you in terms of what you're there to cover in terms of social media impact?
Seeing the numbers of press that he has to deal with on a one-to-one basis. I mean, we were up at 4:30 this morning. He actually woke up at 2. He had the big press conference, but he also had dozens of interviews one-on-one with, both small stations as well as big, NBC Today Show he was on. And it was quite remarkable seeing the numbers of press. 20 years ago, I'm sure that I remember seeing pictures of the press pool that covers the president even, and it was 1/16 the size of even what showed up today. And this is probably a much smaller press pool than would show up for a presidential news event.
What kind of influence can you expect the internet, the blogosphere, social media to have on this campaign that it hasn't had in the past? I mean, it's got to be, each successive campaign seems to be that much more reliant upon and involved in those aspects of social media.
Well, I remember taking pictures of Walter Mondale and Ronald Reagan back in 1984, and I won some awards for those pictures. And in fact, one of the pictures is still hanging in the Republican headquarters in Silicon Valley. And back then, a normal everyday guy like me couldn't have gotten those pictures out to a very large audience. You had to own a TV station, a radio station, or a newspaper to get, you know, that kind of material out to any size audience. And today, you know, the big mainstream press doesn't have a monopoly anymore, doesn't have a lock on it. A guy like Andrew from Rocket Boom can come and take a video and have it shown to tens of thousands of people without, too much work, you know, just based on the word-of-mouth network, because the word-of-mouth network has become more efficient. And if you put up something really, really newsworthy, then it'll get picked up by the mainstream press and talked about and passed around in email, and you can get something that goes, you know, very large, very fast. I mean, look at the Will It Blend videos that are up on YouTube. In the first six days, they got 6 million downloads of that video because it just went viral, and people found it fascinating and wanted to pass it on to their friends. That kind of opportunity is there for political candidates. If somebody gets, you know, a political candidate doing something that's interesting, and interesting can be defined in a lot of ways, you can get video of that and put it out there and completely change a candidacy, you know, a campaign and the outcome of history, really, in a way that you just simply couldn't have done 20 years ago, you know, when Ronald Reagan was running. And that's sort of interesting to me. When you have that kind of power and that kind of opportunity, the campaigns are also using it. And like, there's a film crew that the campaign has hired and is following John Edwards around and putting up their own video blogs and their own Flickr photos. And John is doing blogging. He's going to write a blog tomorrow and let me film him doing that. So that's you can see how the campaign is using these social medias to talk with the public and also listen to the public. That's what's fascinating. Is, you know, when you're on the bus with these guys and back in the back rooms, first of all, I don't remember any time a non-mainstream press guy got access like this. But, you know, normal people can, the candidates themselves are watching what people are saying on blogs and in forums and online. They were over on Daily Coast, and John Edwards was doing a live chat and chatting with thousands of people online this afternoon. And that's quite remarkable to be able to get that kind of reach in an interactive forum and be able to answer questions from people.
So as the campaigns begin to embrace social media more and more, as candidates start to blog, will that reduce the influence of the average Joe out there, and will they begin to co-opt that, and will it become...
I don't think so, because, you know, first of all, if you're here in Iowa or New Hampshire, the political process is completely different than I've ever seen it in living in California, because I grew up in California. He walked into a small group, 5 to 10 people, and had a very intimate conversation. There was no mainstream press there that I remember, you know, and somebody could video that with their cell phone or write a little blog post. Like, I just interviewed John Edwards, or take a Flickr photo that completely could change the candidacy. And that's exciting. So normal everyday people are going to have access to the candidates in a way that, we haven't had access, or if we had access to them before, we haven't had the ability to distribute the news, the new idea or the thought that came out of that meeting. You know, we didn't have YouTube 2 or 3 years ago, you know. So it's quite interesting. It'll be quite interesting to see how over the next year and a half or 2 years, you know, how the social media actually is used by both the candidates themselves, as well as normal everyday people who happen to be caught in a historical moment.
Anything?
If he announced a new policy decision to those 10 people, and the mainstream press wasn't there, it would be up to those 10 people to report what he just said, you know? And that's the first time in history, I think, that, you know, we'll have that opportunity.
Anything else you want to let us know before we let you get to sleep?
Oh, no, it's just being inside a campaign is real interesting, watching the process, watching the length of day and the moving parts is fascinating. I'll probably try to think a little bit more about that, you know, over the next day or two as I participate in this event. But it's it's been quite an interesting day in my life, you know, being able to watch this, you know, go down and also to talk to the staff. You know, a lot of people don't get to have, you know, intimate conversations with the staff and find out what they're thinking and what they think of, you know, Hillary or Barack, you know, or the Republicans. And you can really get a good sense of what the political landscape is just by having conversations. And I think that's really what's going to be interesting is now we can have those conversations in an open public forum and really learn quickly, you know, what stances each of the candidates is taking on an issue and how it affects us.
And are you finding that the staff is following the blogosphere closely? And
yeah, they're watching RSS feeds and Google News. And, you know, I've been showing everybody Memorandum and also how to use Google Reader to, you know, watch lots of feeds. They're certainly watching all the political blogs and seeing what people are writing, you know, in the comment areas and on those blogs. You know, it's a time when a campaign can listen to thousands of people almost instantly, and that's quite exciting too, to watch what they do with that information, how they argue it through. I think Edwards is really brilliant because he's putting a video camera on the team itself in the planes and in the back rooms, so you can see how they learn about news and then how they argue it out, and they're putting those videos up, you know, on YouTube and other places.
And when are you coming back, Robert?
Friday night. So we're here in New Hampshire tomorrow, and he's giving another town hall meeting, which will be broadcast live on the internet, by the way. And he's taking questions from people who leave questions on the internet. And then we fly to Nevada, to Reno, and then I jump off and go home, and then they have another rally in North Carolina.
Looking forward to seeing what you bring back with you and your podcast that you have of stuff you've gathered along the way.
Thank you.